Lime, duh. Yeah. Wow. Let's do it again. Post WrestleMania, baby. And look. Oh, whoa. Got to turn the levels down. Whoa. Woo. Bro, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. Black, a.k.a. Dunsky, Black Amora, snap to a Slim Jim, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. We didn't do that great.
Your next stop, the Jabrones.
A.k.a. Donnie Capri, from that time I went to Italy. A.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof, Raja.
Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
Okay, that's not nice. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby,
gabba, wee, gabba, gay.
This girl, she's mine. Damn, she is fine. What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action post WrestleMania 36 or WrestleMania. I'm not really sure if it was WrestleMania 36 or whatever it was, part one and two. And we're here to talk to you. What up, guys? To my down. He is a nasty boy. Alex Newmanhagen in the place. What up?
Not much, man. How are you?
Oh, wow. You're not in How About a City? You're not there?
No. I'm not in the quarantine. The Usos lockdown.
You're coming to us live from the How About a Penitentiary. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And to my side, I don't know, how is this going to come out? To your left? I don't fucking know. It's to my right. Okay. But it flips. I don't know. I'm too dumb for that. The First Lady, Erin Finnerty.
What up?
Wow. Yo, coming off WrestleMania.
We're here. We're quarantined. Get used to it. Week four?
Well, guys, I feel like a real asshole because I went full energy. Okay.
Well, how many cold brews have you had today?
I'm drinking a spicy one right now. I'm actually What I'm having is an espresso with oat milk in it.
Oh, I had a double Nespresso this morning.
Yeah, it's
a while ago.
It gets it done. So we're coming off WrestleMania. And before we get into talking about WrestleMania, just know if you like what we're doing, especially during these weird times, we're pumping out more content and you want to support us, we couldn't be more grassroots than ever. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to bonus episodes. And currently, we have our Cow Movie Club going on. And we have our movie dissection app where we dissect movies with professional wrestlers in them. And we have our episode of Bushwick starring Dave Bautista. Those come out every Monday. And those have been very fun. Been a good time.
Next week, we're doing a little movie called Gridiron Gang, also available on Netflix.
All these movies are available on major streaming platforms.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah.
Dwayne. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Rock. Heard of him, folks? Please, okay? If you smile! Okay, that's not right now. You can check that out and get access to our post-AEW NXT episodes on Friday morning with the supermark, Nick Tulo. So lots of content coming at you on the Patreon. Support the show, bro. If you ordered a cow hoodie, eco-friendly hoodie.
Yeah.
Bah, bah, bah. Those will be coming at you very soon.
Yes.
That's it. Now, Let's talk about, oh, also, by the way, we're doing Twitch live watch-alongs, twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack, watching Raws. We watched WrestleMania all weekend, like a bunch of maniacs, and you can rewatch all of our watch-alongs. I think we had a good time watching along. You can check that out on twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. So, lots of stuff coming at you in the weird time. So, let's just get in, talk about WrestleMania. Guys, how did you feel about WrestleMania this year? A two-night extravaganza, and did it deliver? Did it under-deliver? Did you expect more? Did you expect less? Were your expectations met? All of those options are valid.
I expected less, I expected very much less.
Right.
So what they did deliver, I thought, was pretty acceptable. I had some low points with some real high points, so I thought it was fun, especially during these quarantine times.
Right. The quarantine times, daddy.
Yeah, I got to agree 100%. Like, I think I didn't expect anything at all. I think the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match saved the whole weekend for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the general consensus. And it seems to be everyone, all the internet, the sheets, if you will, and I will. It seems to have, everyone seems to have a pretty uniform opinion about these WrestleMania, which is it over-delivered, and it was actually a better time to watch than people had expected, considering that you know, we'd all have to watch on Zoom and shit, you know. Right. So I think people expected that it wouldn't be as good of a time. By the way, this just in, just got an announcement as I'm sitting here, and I'm want to get this at the top, but they'll be putting out a Wrestle Days about my feud and the podcast with Ify Nwadaway. Wrestle Days is great. These guys make documentaries about pro wrestling, and they had documented my experience wrestling and some stuff with the podcast, and that's going to be coming out this week. As soon as this podcast is out, it might be out. So look for that. Their Instagram handle is at Wrestle Days, I believe. Which I'll confirm as we get here. But that's they have some awesome footage you've never seen before of cow stuff that we've done. These guys were following me around with cameras, and they followed me to get spray tanned, like everything. So check that out. Their handle is at Wrestle Days. So check that out, and we'll be posting it also. But yeah, so this WrestleMania, I would say this. I thought this WrestleMania, I agree with everyone's opinion. The only thing I disagree with is I felt like I kind of expected it, the quality to be, I expected it to be, I guess I'm lying. That's not true, because I did think that they wouldn't pull off some of the stuff as well as they did. But I did know that Vince was going to be like, this is still WrestleMania. I don't think that he's going to allow his WrestleMania brand to be like crazy diluted. So I knew that they would have to pick up the slack in other ways and have to deliver in other ways. So I'm not shocked that it was, that we all enjoyed watching. And plus, it was all of us watching wrestling. The technology now is so good that we were all, you know, it kind of, you know, your brain escapes and you kind of feel like you're hanging out in the same room as everybody in a way, you know?
Yeah. I think it just exceeded expectations, because like Raw and SmackDown for the last 3 weeks have been pretty lackluster. So it's like, when you're kind of used to that, you're, expectations are already like way down here. So the fact that they deliver something that managed to be like exciting and cool, I think is why people like it.
Yeah. And I think, I think that the wrestlers are still going to be like, this is WrestleMania. You know what I mean? They're still going to say, this is still WrestleMania, regardless of anything. And as a matter of fact, Drew McIntyre had said in his Chronicle, which I haven't watched, but apparently I'm getting the word that the Drew McIntyre Chronicle is a must-watch situation.
Yeah, I heard that.
And he is like, yeah, well, people need this more now than ever. Being the champion matters more now. I was like, wow, what a face. What a baby face. but I think that let's... There he is, everyone. Drew McIntyre, let's give him a little shout out, his song, even though, you know, because you rarely hear bagpipes in the times of celebration. Am I right?
Usually just Irish, Scottish funerals, like St. Patrick's Day parades.
It's anytime someone Irish or Scottish dies or a cop dies, they play bagpipes.
Yeah.
It feels like in the scene in the movie where the cop gets like shot and then like, oh, you're going to make it. Next shot, bagpipes. Cut two bagpipes and he didn't make it. You know what
all
I mean?
All of Boston is out in the streets crying.
But Drew McIntyre wins. But I think that Drew McIntyre did not steal the show for me at this WrestleMania. And I think there's a unanimous decision. And I think we should start in order of merit. You know what I mean? And I believe he deserved the respect to hear that. But the king of WrestleMania, in my eyes, and I'll see if you guys agree, was none other than Mr. Bray Wyatt of the Fiend. I think the Firefly Funhouse match over delivered for me.
Yeah.
You guys?
Yeah. Same.
Yes. Way over delivered. So much cooler than I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean the Firefly Funhouse match was in my mind it was actually incredible. I actually think it's one of the best pieces of content WWE has ever made. And it's weird because I'm like, I want to say match. I'm tempted. Would you call it a match? What would you call it?
I guess it's a match, but it's like John Cena versus his own insecurities.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have written down. That's exactly what it is. That's literally what I had because I rewatched it and took notes on it play by play. And the top of my page says you can't read my handwriting, so I could just lie. But the top line is insecurities. I mean, it's exactly. It's exactly what it is. I mean, the thing. Look, there's a couple things to say about it before we get into the actual things of it, which is.
Erase your mind.
Well, no. Come on, guys. That's unnecessary. Okay, I don't think we need to get too affected by it.
Erase your mind.
Okay, relax. Okay, all right.
No.
Okay, I think Bray Wyatt. I've said is one of the most special talents to ever walk through those doors. I've said it a million times. Before we talk about the actual content, I think the general vibe is this only happened because of these weird circumstances that we got something like this, right? Mm-hmm. Which is true. There's no way they would do a pre-tape in front of 80,000 people, right?
Right. Definitely not.
Right, but would you guys say, but at the same time, do you think that because of the situation, Vince let Bray kind of do more what he wanted to do? Or Vince is, like, I think people want to discredit Vince. That seems to be the vibe. Let's discredit Vince. Finally, he was backed into a corner of Corona, and he had to think creatively for once. Do you think that's, where are you at on that?
Was it his idea? I mean, it seems to me more like a collabo between John Cena and Bray Wyatt, just because.
Right, I'm saying, really, how are hands on in this Vince?
I'd say maybe like he's got some like final sign off power, but right. I think a lot of the really good stuff and the storytelling in the match is probably Bray and John Cena working together.
I think that it was like, you know, here's how it happened in my mind, and I have no proof of this. Was Vince literally was like, all right, Mr. Creative. What do you got? You know what I mean? He's like, all right, man, like, it's fine. Yeah. We'll do it. Like, and I think that Bray had a lot of say into this. I from everything I've ever seen of Vince's creativity, I doubt he could make this, right? Like,
my gut is telling me that either just Bray or Bray and John approached Vince and probably framed it like, let us take something off your plate. Like, if they're smart and they're dealing with somebody like Vince, you try to make them, you make that person think that you're doing them a favor.
Yeah. Or that it's their idea.
Right.
Yeah. I think you're both
right. Take this off your plate. You don't have to do it. Yeah.
I think you're both 100% correct. I didn't even think of it this way. Cena was on board and that's why it happened.
Well, yeah. Cena's down. He's down. Like, he's definitely down to clown and like do creative stuff, I think. So I think if you have like Cena's buy-in, then you also have more Vince buy-in too, to sign off on this kind of like really different.
Right.
You know, and what's great too is it's like when that match started, and then Cena comes out and he's like doing his like ironically detached thing. He's like looking around the stadium, the only one to acknowledge that there's nobody there.
Right.
And he's like starts to be a cornball and he's like, welcome to Rosa. And that's when the Fiend is like, let's cut right to the chase.
Yeah. Here. So, like, let's not even break down the kayfabe of this whole situation because it's like, did Bray make it start when he says WrestleMania? Like, he cues the cue, who fucking knows, whatever. It's more about the powers, but I think we saw a really successful evolution of the WWE product if they want to go with it. Like, that was, you look at Matt Hardy, who was just sitting around for 3 years with his broken gimmick and did nothing, had the one Ultimate Deletion with Bray, that was it, which was, by the way, has a lot of views on YouTube. Like, it was very popular, you know. Maybe it costs more than when Vince does the math. Does it cost too much to make? My opinion would be this is the kind of stuff that, and this Taker match, that my casual friends, the John Wadowski test, by the way, John Wadowski is my friend who's a very casual fan of wrestling. This is stuff where he hears about and pops in, that and the Taker match. And I think this will get more, we live in a more digital age, make a product that's more for the internet. Like, that stuff has way more appeal for a YouTube crowd or than just a match. Like, matches are just, now that being said, obviously there's a place for all that stuff. It's just, you are running this multimedia company, billion-dollar company. This is the way to go. That being said, so Bray, what he does is he preys on the insecurities of John. He walks you literally through it and he tears John Cena apart and then just hits him with the Sister Abigail, you know? It literally, if you follow the story of this match, which is worth doing, it starts out, he shows ruthless aggression, John Cena, right? He's wearing the same, literally Bray plays Kurt Angle, says the same exact Kurt Angle line where he's like, what makes you think you can hang or whatever? And then he says ruthless aggression, except he's missing. It's not landing. He's literally not landing the blows, just like how none of that landed for him in his career. Throwing that in his face just to get him going. That was dope. Then he goes into the body guy stuff when he starts being all like, right? So he's like, all right, you're the Hulkamania comparisons where it's like, oh, he makes him work out. And he's just like, oh, this is all like feeding your ego. And also has Vincent involved. So it's like, oh, good. Oh, yeah, this company loves a guy with a nice body. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you call him? Johnny Large Meat.
Johnny, that was so funny. And then he said egomania is running wild.
Right.
It's great. It's like he's playing the psychological mind games in him that are it's great. Then he has the Thuganomics thing and he's just bombing with his shitty fucking raps.
Crickets. Well, the thing, actual crickets.
The thing I liked about that was almost like it's like it kind of played with the trope of like this thing that that the Fiend is doing to him by like locking him in some sort of like psychological prison, but like John Cena is still there and he like realizes, oh, I can only rhyme. And so he like tries to start dissing him in rhymes, but like he's still there somewhere to be like, oh, I'm trapped here and I can only rhyme.
Right.
And I'm going to try to attack you that way.
Part of the brilliance of that whole thing too is that like everything he was saying was, the writing was pretty good actually, like in terms of what he would do. Like, it's not like good writing, but it's like he could do those exact ones. It wasn't like they made them weaker than what he would actually do. These ones would pop the crowd if there was a crowd there. They would be like, yeah, like a thing about your nuts being as small as like fucking peanuts, said, or whatever, right? Like, said, this fucking crowd would love that garbage, right?
He said, you're a slut for opportunity.
Yes.
Blow every chance you get.
Yeah. And then he did, you can look for, you can't touch. He did the novellas. He's like, oh, wow. I remember Nikki.
Right.
Was having a kid with somebody else, you fucking loser. And plus, small thing, but he's wearing a Yankees jersey and they cover it up so you can't see Yankees. It's not an official Yankees jersey, so they don't have to pay. But CM Punk called him the New York Yankees, right? That was his big insult, which is like, you've become everything that you hate, right? Like, you have become the New York Yankees, which really pissed him off. A great moment from Punk. Then they cut to the WrestleMania 30 match, which is his Bray's personal gripe with him, just being like, that you ruined my prophecy that was supposed to be fulfilled, which was my big Mania win. you know? Right. And then, right? Then he puts, he goes back to being Fedora Bray.
Fedora Bray, right? A cameo. That was awesome. I was like super excited to see him, to be honest. The Hawaiian shirt.
Current like, Bray. Oh. Current Bray in Fedora Bray gear makes Fedora Bray even scarier.
Yeah, okay. It's like a different guy almost. It was like Fedora Bray's been like in the in like the swampland somewhere, like juicing and lifting and like getting more evil.
I, by the way, I want to commit to how much I love Bray Wyatt. I will, when I have paychecks again, I will purchase that fucking feed belt.
The belt? I thought you were gonna say
not
shirt.
The one that's $7,000. Not, you know, the like cheaper one. The one that's like when I'll find it when it's on sale for like $3 something, which will be still a completely stupid, reckless purchase. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about a guy who I think is one of the best wrestlers of all time. Okay, I put this guy in such high regard. He's everything. He speaks to everything in this current era of like where. This whole, like, let's call it the Bullet Club indie scene, right? Of, like, all that, where we got this, we started getting into this zone where here's what wrestling is. It's Kenny Omega 5-star matches, 6-star matches. That's all it is. Your body doesn't matter. You don't need to cut promos. You don't need to be a character. Your character is you're the best wrestler, and that's it. And that is valid. That is valid. But there's always room for huge guys like Batista. There is room for jacked up dudes. I always said that. And then there's always room for great three-dimensional character work. Always. I don't know why the indie scene, they don't see that. I guys like MJF, these guys, why are guys that are 22 years old becoming the top guys in wrestling? It's just, they're like, I'll just go in there. Yeah, I don't need to flip around, destroy my body. I'll find a character, you know? So there's room for it all. Wrestling is a very broad art. You know, I could compare it to Magic the Gathering right now. There's a lot of formats within one game. You could. It's not just you open the box and you play it one way. You play it however you choose, but I'm not going to. Okay. I don't want to isolate people. But anyway, back to the WrestleMania 30 part for Fedora Bray. They go back specifically to the chair shot moment. And this is where them replaying matches was actually really nice, because they showed this match on ESPN when they replayed WrestleMania 30.
Right.
And then they showed this match again on a Raw. And I was like, it was deliberate for us to remember that moment. He has almost that Joker moment of like, hit me, you know? Yeah. And Cena doesn't do it. And he's like, you made that wrong choice. Hit me now. Which again, as he's trying to goad him, it's like, same thing with Batman. It's like, break your one rule, Cena. Show everybody you're the piece of shit that you actually are. That you're actually not this like great guy that you pretend to be. You actually are an egomaniac, and you're actually a violent guy too, just like me, right? So then this time he actually does hit him with the chair, but Bray disappears. But when that happens is when they go into Hollywood Hogan moment, the NWO, and it's like, see, this is your heel turn that we thought would never happen when Hogan did it also, you know, because he actually took the chair shot. And that was really cool. By the way, he had that shirt that says you can't stop me, which are they selling that shirt?
I don't think it's on the Zone.
Yeah.
But I've been monitoring the Zone since WrestleMania and I haven't seen it.
Right. And so then that's when he becomes Hogan, that's the beginning of his descent. Of like, so you gave in, and then in the match, he starts giving into his emotions, and he starts seeing all of his failures, all them. Punk walking out with the title, 2011. I probably shot to Nikki. I don't remember what was in there, stuff like that. And then he starts beating the shit out of Bray, but it turns out he's beating the greedy little pig that was John Cena the whole time. And John Cena is a pig, and then it's fine. It's like, now you've given in. Now you've shown everyone in the WWE Universe who you really are, is that you're angry and you beat the shit out of this lifeless puppet pig. Time for Sister Abigail. Goodbye. You had no chance from the start. It's great. It's a piece of art. It's fantastic. I'm jealous that I had nothing to do with it. It's so good. And I won't do blow by blows of every batch, guys. I'm just saying this one has such a great story. And I don't see any reason with the success of this stuff why a character, especially like a Bray, would not be taken out. We can't do stuff out of the ring. You know,
I think that's the big takeaway from this is that like kind of mystical characters like that, Bray, the Undertaker, to a lesser extent,
well, spooky Black, boys, if you will,
mystical spooky boys. Yeah, they there is way more opportunity now for like different kind of presentation and production in their matches.
I mean, both of the spooky boys were on display.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The spooky boys saved the day. Wasn't it kind of satisfying how the Goldberg thing didn't come to fruition either? And Bray still got his moment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
It was just like, yo, it's like, Vince, man, like, you're getting it wrong sometimes, man.
Have you seen that theory online that, like, the reason that the Fiend lost to Goldberg?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, because Goldberg is always
because
Goldberg.
Why?
Because Goldberg.
I took a picture of it.
He never had like John Cena went through so many phases. Daniel Bryan so many phases. Seth Rollins so many phases. But Goldberg's always just been Goldberg. So there's nothing to revert back to, and so that's why he had no insecurities. So
yeah, the only one he couldn't beat was a man whose character he has never really changed and has never varied off of his Goldberg persona. This is the weakness of the Fiend and Bray. If you have no faults or doubts in your identity, you cannot win. He preys on those weaknesses. Pretty legit. It is true that all these wrestlers went back to their best selves. Miz, Finn, Daniel Bryan, Seth. Although Seth didn't go architect, you know, but that's fine. I think it doesn't matter. He went heel. Like, the point is there. Here's what I believe. I think this is cool. I actually think it's just a happy accident.
Of course.
I think, you know, Vince is just like, all right, well, look, Bray, here's the deal. You're not going into Mania as my champion. It's just the deal, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, the Fiend, what he did is fantastic work. Can't wait to see where he goes. Again, yes, he doesn't need the title. We all agree he doesn't need the title.
Right.
When you're this good, you don't need the title, right? I mean, he's on another level than championships. Braun Strowman needs a title, you know? Even Drew, truthfully, needs a title. He's a traditional He-Man style wrestler. He needs to be dripped in gold, you know, or black leather, pirate's gold or whatever. But still at the same time, would have loved if that match was for the title, you know. And Cena, you know, would have been fine anyway. Especially because what we got out of it was. And I think let's go there. What we got out of Bray losing the title was Braun Strowman's first heavyweight championship win. He is the champion of SmackDown, the Universal Championship champion, Braun Strowman. I wore him on my shirt to give him the respect that he deserves. He is the champion. I mean, cool. Couldn't be worse timing for this guy. I mean, talk about going from the guy was as white hot as it gets. To winning when he's really coming off a social media disaster, I'd say.
Oh, my God. I completely pushed that out of my mind.
I mean,
this is a way to be like, remember, you like Braun. Like, forget about what he said. He's the champ now.
But he's supposed to be a babyface champ, I believe, right?
Yeah.
I think he's got to go heel.
Yeah. I mean, not that long ago, he was like dancing in the middle of the ring with the New Day, like, you know, having a laugh. But I think just they have to change it, especially because I think what he said left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I lost a lot of respect for Braun Strowman when he said that stuff. I mean, the timing was so it's so idiotic. It's not respect. It's just like. It is respect, but I don't think I had like a deep respect for him to begin with. But he's just such it's like, oh, this guy's such a moron, you know?
I mean, a lot of people suffer from this. This is the consequences of the ego. And I don't mean an ego, like you're like obsessed with yourself, but like the ego, the sense of identity that people have.
Right.
And it makes them think, the way I do things is the right way. The way everyone else does things, because they are separate from me and different, is wrong. And it's just like such a basic and elementary logical fallacy. And it doesn't surprise me right. that somebody like Braun would be at a mental level necessary to think that that's like true.
It takes
or okay.
such a weak mind to be successful and think that and like hold that over other people's heads, right? Like it's yes, you're successful. That's a responsibility. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How do you not know that? What are you, two? You know
not
what
only
I mean?
That, but like we're in the middle of like a global crisis right now. And like you're preaching about like, well, I put my stuff in my Kia and drove to Florida. Like now's not the time. Like this is not something.
Oh,
like,
good for you.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the drop I need so bad. Oh, I got to go
good
back
for you.
Because Seth said it. I'm sorry, I wanted to hit it, so I interrupted you by doing it because I just was so excited about it. But Seth did it exactly like Christian Bale did. And I gotta get that.
Yeah.
All right, so Braun Strowman wins. Nothing really to say. Goldberg, one of the shittiest title runs of all time, arguably. Maybe 6 weeks of nonsense or whatever. And I'm a Goldberg mark. Everybody knows that. I love Goldberg. It's time for him to he should have just won, to be honest. You know, but I guess whatever. He's not trying to show up, you know, for any of this shit. All right, let's move on to the next big win, which is let's talk about Drew McIntyre before we get into the unfortunate death of AJ Styles, according to his Wikipedia. But Drew McIntyre defeats not only Brock Lesnar, but apparently Big Show.
Like after the show, I just watched it. It's so weird.
Yeah. What was the plan there to originally? So if you didn't see this, by the way, the main event of Raw is a dark match from WrestleMania, which is just changing a graphic on the background, really.
Weren't all the matches dark matches?
Yeah. Right. This one was they had the exact WrestleMania setup. Apparently it took place in kayfabe right after Drew wins the title, show comes out. And I think their plan was at one point, I think their plan might have been to air this you thought the show's over, but then he beats Big Show also.
That would have been a horrible way to end WrestleMania. Yeah. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
But they probably were like, let's cut it. Yeah.
It's a blooper. No one wants to see that shit. I don't want to see it last night.
But, the only cool thing would have done is if Strowman came out and then they did Drew Strowman to unify, like something like that. They're like, that'd be crazy, you know? But that'd be such a waste in front of no crowd. It's such a waste. Anyway.
Too much beef.
Drew McIntyre's the champion. I mean, this match, what can we say about it? Drew McIntyre kicked out of a F5 after one. He looks strong as fuck. Brock Lesnar is the first guy to ever kick out of the Claymore, apparently. So they both look strong, and they gave Drew McIntyre the rub, and they did the right thing. They did the right thing by the young up-and-coming men stars, not so much the women.
Surprise.
Not that that's something bad to say, but Drew McIntyre becomes the champion. This guy is such a likable human being that it's interesting. It took them – it's not interesting, but Drew McIntyre was – deep in the Jabron zone. People were messaging us for a while saying, is Drew in the Jabron zone? Remember, we get a lot of messages. And I was like, no, when you look like that, you're never in the Jabron zone. And but WWE was unwilling to show us this likable side of him until now.
Like the likable. I didn't like him for a while when he was like a big meanie. But then when he started like smiling and stuff, I really turned a corner on Drew.
Well, they put him in this tag team with Ziggler, which was fun, and they had that. And then he was like, he was in Shane's when Shane's posse against Kevin Owens.
Right.
Right. And then like he got dropped out to fucking Roman Reigns last Mania.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I think I was in the bathroom for that. I don't know.
You could have gone pee and missed the whole match. Like, yeah. to get there and back, it was over.
Yeah, but yeah, Drew wins. I mean, there's not much to say because it's basically about like, now let's see the Drew title run. Can he be a draw? I mean, he certainly passes the Today Show test. I think getting him out there, they got to get him with the shirt off on some fucking like, Martha Stewart shows or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what I mean?
They need to lean into the mom demographic.
Oh, yeah. He'll be huge with
I literally moms. Was like, my mom is obsessed with Outlander, and I showed her Drew McIntyre. Like Outlander. I was like, check this guy out. He's Scottish. And she was like, oh, he's a wrestler? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, so if you like Outlander, it's gonna he's gonna be a big splash, right. Especially once he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
Part of Jamie's clan.
Let's talk about some women matches before we get into Taker here. I want to talk Charlotte, Rhea Ripley. Charlotte tapped out Rhea Ripley the opening match of night two of WrestleMania. By the way, I just want to point out that I thought this was perfectly booked in terms of what was on night one and what was on night two. Like night two is significantly better, but they put enough good stuff in night one where you were like, oh, you know, like when night one was over, you're like, oh, well, there's so much good shit on night two, and night one was worth it. So I think they did a nice job there. But yeah, so Rhea Ripley, what do you guys, do you think Rhea Ripley stepped up to the plate?
Yeah, I think it was an awesome match.
I loved her gear.
20-minute match, 20 minutes and 30 seconds. It was long. One of the long – let me see. It might be the longest match. No, Edge Orton was the longest match.
Oh, my God. That was so long. long.
Drew McIntyre versus – guess how long Drew versus Brock was?
8 minutes.
4 minutes?
4 minutes and 35 seconds. Edge Orton was 36 minutes long.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, long.
It felt 36 minutes. It was so friggin' long.
Yeah, but the longest match on the card, the second longest match was this match, Charlotte Rhea. I thought this match suffered from no crowd. A couple of these matches obviously did. When you're just trying to do a traditional match like this, it's a bummer because Rhea came out and was hitting pretty hard, but she's not a spectacle talent. She's not backflipping, you know, she's not doing it. She's hard hitting, and so that stuff requires kind of the big crowd sell for it. So I thought she did a nice job. I think they made the right choice giving Charlotte the NXT title. Is very fun, you know. Rhea can only go up. If she won, it's like look at Bayley right now. Bayley has came into two WrestleManias as the champ and walked out champ two times. Like
it makes no sense.
Right. She doesn't even register. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Bayley's a two-time. She's one of the most decorated female talents ever. You know?
I don't understand it. I don't like it.
No, I don't think anyone does. Is anyone a Bayley fan?
People are definitely fans.
I feel like she had the kids with the hugs, and now
I feel like people like her in her like emo phase. But I think it's like there were four other people in that match, like Sasha. Like I mean, come on, you guys. Like this has been going on long enough. I just don't get why they want to leave it on her. It does nothing for the title. It's not exciting. It hasn't moved in like 300 days or close to that. Like
essentially they booked themselves into a corner with a couple of these matches, and a lot of that has to do with Corona, because like Bayley, this match, Lacey, boring like win, you know?
Yeah.
Anticlimactic. And Naomi's like not, they haven't built her at all enough leading up to this match. I mean, this match had no build. Sasha Bayley, all right, Sasha could have turned on her and start that feud right for them to slow down as more, you know?
And
the Tamina's just nothing, right? So they kind of got back into a corner where keeping it status quo was like, all right, that might be it, right? So, but then And then, yeah, so I thought, yeah, Charlotte Rhea, I thought it was great. Charlotte, you know, I thought, you know, Charlotte is just better than her. And so I think that came through in the match, even though they told the right story, which is just she's good. She's got a lot of potential. Charlotte's just still better. Mm-hmm. And now Charlotte has her title. And now so there's a lot they can do. That's really fun. The one thing that my brain always has like a, it's always the same thing, which is that sometimes the pay-per-view isn't as important as my brain thinks it is. You know, mm-hmm. And like so this was the same thing as like the Shinsuke AJ, where it's like, oh, this is the beginning of their feud,
right?
So this is just the beginning. So when you see it that way, you're like, yeah, that makes the most sense. Becky defeated Shayna. That's again another example of they were backed into a corner here. I definitely don't think the goal, especially because the win was just a roll up, right? I definitely don't think they wanted Shayna to get pinned, but they had no choice because Becky, I would have schmozzed this match up, to be honest. If you were going to have one match to schmozz, I think having Shayna be beat here was a huge blow to her character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have like Marina Schaefer and what's her name? Jessamyn Duke come out or something.
Right. I don't see what, like, it's like Rhea could get pinned by Charlotte. Becky, like, because even with the booking, Becky's like, it was Hart versus like skill, you know, and Hart won out or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, you're like, you know, so Shayna gets beat by Hart this early in her main roster career. I think she needed to be more dominant. I think Vince is just not a fan of her.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, yeah, you can kind of tell when someone's getting that treatment. I think that's what happened.
Right.
She just didn't deliver.
So I think Shayna will be fine. It's just, then she cut that promo on Raw where she was just like, she just kept her. Those are my least favorite promos. Promos. And that's writing.
Yeah.
What did she say? What was the, like, she kept being like the agony of, what's it?
Defeat.
The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
And then Becky, you will experience the agony of my defeat.
Oh, yes. Very, yeah. Yes.
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Really hard hitting stuff.
But when you saw Becky come out, Becky's looks like a million bucks. She has a huge fucking monster truck. She's so cool. Her promo on Raw, which love I think her. Is just her post. Those are just the post match promos, but they showed them on Raw.
Right.
It was one of her best promos ever. It's just calm. She's like really calm. Like, I'm just really good and she knows where to find me. You know, like, she looked awesome. Becky, she corrected her gear mistakes from WrestleMania 35 in my head. She looked fucking awesome. She
looked great.
Becky is,
I love her,
one of the top talents in WWE, if not the top, and good for her. Let's talk about Undertaker AJ Styles and what many people are calling a boneyard match.
Boneyard. Boneyard match.
Oh my god. What a good time. By the way, so this being the main event of night one made people so pumped about night two.
Right.
I just felt like people were like talking. They were talking about this thing. This thing
coming in hot on Sunday.
This thing, airing this as the main event of night one, definitely upped their buy rates for night two.
Yeah, for sure.
People were like, I got to see that. Oh, plus there's another show tonight. I think WWE, my guess is, by the way, I don't know if we'll see the numbers, but my guess is that they got a lot of subs this weekend.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And it's good because I think now that we're in this time, like, people are streaming so heavily, it's like people are going to get themselves back into it, like watching kind of nostalgia matches and stuff like that.
And the WWE Network is such a good deal if you're even like a casual wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Newman, what did you think of the Undertaker defeating AJ Styles in 19 minutes? AJ Styles booked with Gallows and Anderson in a Boneyard match. Let's turn to our resident metal guy.
First of all,
yeah.
He was the Undertaker coming out to Metallica.
Yeah.
that checks all my boxes. If he was smoking a blunt while he was doing it, I would have loved it. I think that in this, the interesting thing though is like in the context of an act, like let's say there was no virus and there was an audience there and it was your standard WrestleMania and it was like an in the ring match, I don't think I would have been pumped for the Undertaker to win, but because it was this kind of cool, like avant-garde match, I think it's great that the Undertaker won, and I think he can continue to exist in this realm for a lot longer than he would have been able to exist in the ring. AJ Styles is dead now.
Rest in peace. Right. Rest in power.
Yeah, I think you're right. Undertaker was. Yeah, I know. AJ Styles. By the way, that's why I got distracted just now. Because I just got, well, I got two things. Somebody sent me a thing that said Kenny Omega's confirmed bisexual.
Oh, good for him.
Which is, oh.
Not a good surprise.
Good for you. I get it. You got a whole other sexuality on me. I got it.
Good for you.
Anyway, but also I'm looking at AJ Styles' Wikipedia page and
his obituary.
AJ Styles apparently is, according to his Wikipedia page, is no longer with us.
Oh, Dan, are you seeing this?
What? Whoa.
I don't know what happened, but AJ Styles' hand
sticking out of the ground. Joined us. And then, oh my God. Looks like
this. What is that?
What is that? Like a portal?
A tunnel like to the drill? Beyond?
What is that?
Wait a second. I'm seeing.
AJ's. If you're not watching, if you're listening to this, you're missing.
Hello.
Looks like Newman's stream.
Oh, wait.
Newman's stream has been taken over by AJ's. AJ Styles.
I'm in hell. Help me. I'm in hell.
Oh my God, AJ.
Wow.
No, cut the damn music. Whoa. I'm in hell. I died.
Oh my God. Should we cut your music?
Cut my music off, man.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Oh, wow. Oh my God. AJ Styles apparently hacked into Newman's Ethernet cord from hell. Wow. So, AJ, you're in hell right now.
I'm in hell. I thought I was going to go to heaven. I did everything I was supposed to, and then I died, and I went to hell.
You went to hell? Wow. Did you speak to the devil? Did he say why you went to hell, or did you get it?
Apparently... that I hold some beliefs that I will not get into, I went to hell. Who would have thought?
Wait, what kind of belief? Was he more specific about the beliefs?
He was.
He doesn't want to talk about it. Wow. He doesn't want to get in more trouble.
I think the whole world knows why I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't need to relitigate this. But I'm in hell, and you know what? As expected, lots of gays down here.
Well, okay.
Really?
Oh my. Okay.
But.
Come on.
As it turns out, not here because they're gay. They're here because they were just also evil people.
Okay. That's not surprising to me and Aaron. That's not surprising here. We would not think anyone would go to hell for their sexual preferences.
Well, no,
that's something
just for
you
their
would
evil
think.
Ways.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, come on. Well, look, we now have to get into it. It's hot as hell down here, man. This sucks.
Yeah, hell, man.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, you're from Georgia. You live in Georgia. Is it hotter than Georgia?
No. Man, I wish I could come back up through that portal and smack the taste out of your mouth for asking that question.
Wow.
Of course,
okay.
it's hotter than Georgia. Georgia.
Wow. Well, you're wearing.
I think you could still smack me. I just have to go to the boneyard, and your hand is still sticking up out of the ground. You could.
Oh, there it is. There it is. So you're down there, but your hand, your right hand is.
I got one hand in hell.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. The other hand's still in the boneyard, AJ. Yeah.
All right. So, AJ. Listen, you're in hell right now. Uh-huh. Why did you tap into our stream here? What's up?
Look, please, you got to send a rope or something down here. It sucks. I need someone to get me out of here. I don't know if praying works. I don't know what works anymore, but this stinks. And also something I've discovered from being down here.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's interested in this. I think that there's something to the idea that hell is flat.
Oh, no. Are you starting in again? No. You're saying hell is flat?
Yes.
Like how the earth was flat? You're going back to that stuff? I mean, didn't you learn your lesson about your beliefs?
Did I learn a lesson? Would I be in hell if I learned any lessons in my life?
No.
That's a really good question. No,
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I mean, let me ask you something, AJ. I got a question for you. I mean, by the way, I don't even know. Maybe, to be honest, hell might be flat. I actually wouldn't actually know.
Well, let me ask you, look, how do you get from how, okay, look, if you can go from the second, the lust circle, the second circle of hell, you can get directly to the eighth circle, which is for fraudsters, right? And you don't have to, look, you don't even have to
read fraudsters?
Your demon.
Like, so it's like you went over to the eighth circle to visit, like, Bernie Madoff. To go over there to check him out.
That Ponzi guy is there. Bernie Madoff is there. But then you look across and you can see the sixth circle for heretics.
I think how Bernie Madoff's still alive, right? Isn't Bernie Madoff still alive?
That's a body double.
Oh. Is Jeffrey Epstein down there?
He runs the place, man.
Oh my god!
Oh wow!
Oh, big reveal!
Did you find out if he committed suicide or?
He did in fact kill himself, which is what I found interesting.
Wow, that's a more believable conspiracy, but that one you believe just went straight how it went.
Oh, yeah, and I was talking to Jeff the other day, and I'm like, Jeff, do you ever notice how when you're in the third circle for the gluttons?
Yeah,
you can see no curvature of the other umbral plane.
Listen, that's because you can't. It's such a slight curve. It's a lot of hell's a lot of miles. I mean, it has to be huge to take all the bad people throughout all of history that have died. So I mean, it's big. It's if you kept walking, you eventually, if you walk, and maybe you have a lot of time now, maybe you can walk the whole thing. You'll see. You'll get back to the same point. I mean, it looks like it got you down there. Is that a shot? You're on a little bit of just a floating island in hot magma.
Yeah, I'm stuck here. I'm submerged up to my neck in sulfur, and I'm forced to hear the lament of everyone I've ever wronged in my life, and it is loud and annoying, and I hate it here.
So how you getting into us? You snuck on? Do you get internet time down there?
Oh yeah, we got internet and everything. We got Wi-Fi.
Wow.
So you should thank the progressives still giving you your rights in hell, probably, right?
Yeah.
Well, I just think that it's, you know, AOL and Time Warner, they have contracts down here.
Let me ask you a question. Who's your hell crew? I mean, who's your new Gallows and Anderson? You know what I mean?
My new Gallows and Anderson is Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mach is down there?
Mach is down here. And you know what? Frankly, it's Chris Benoit. He's also down here.
I was going to ask if he was down there.
Of course he's down here, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. Well, we got to go.
Gotta
go. This guy, you know,
all right,
this
well, send our fast. Regards to Randy and Chris and Jeff and Bernie, the whole gang.
All right,
we'll try to pack your hand maybe down in the boneyard so you can kind of like get it back, but you're not coming back. I don't think.
Yeah, you want your hand back? I could stomp it down, I could fly out and stomp it down into
you know what?
But we're not pulling you out.
I want if you could just affix my middle finger up. And just leave it on the doorstep of like a Planned Parenthood, I would really.
Okay,
all right,
goodbye.
We gotta go.
Oh my. Wow.
Word.
Wow. Oh my God. Let's see if we can get Newman back.
He's back.
What happened?
Someone hacked our.
AJ Styles hacked into your Ethernet cord.
My Zoom went down and.
Yeah. AJ Styles.
I was trying to get reconnected.
Don't worry about it. It wasn't that interesting.
So weird.
It wasn't that. Yeah, you didn't miss anything. So this Undertaker match. So here's the deal. I want to say this before I get into it. I love it. Fantastic. I rewatched it. It's a fucking blast. It's great. It's not that. The thing is this. It's frustrating because it's so good that I would have tweaked it in some ways. And my main criticism of it. And this is just. Because we dissect this shit to an unhealthy degree. This is not at all, like, to be honest, I'm not saying, I love it. It's such a big step forward for what the WWE product. It's such a fun risk and gamble they took. So I have almost no problem with it. If I have a problem with it, given that I'm someone who sees this kind of stuff as the future of WWE, a place they should go, I would say two things. I was a little bummed to not see Taker and AJ wrestle, because AJ, just to see AJ give Taker a great match, you know,
yeah,
would have been just fun to see. So I hope we get that. I would love if this was not over and we get to see AJ maybe beat Taker at like SummerSlam or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because I would love to see, because it's, yeah, I think we should see that match. And it's not like they won't have any beef now that he buried, you know, I don't think that's a settled situation. So I think we'll get that. So then my other criticism of it is, if the story is that Undertaker is old, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should get beat up a lot more by AJ Styles and persevere. I think that, though, it's just my opinion, is that if we're getting this version of Taker, which I want, of old, broken down Taker, but he could, then I would like to see him. A guy like AJ Styles is one of the best WWE talents, one of the best wrestlers ever, who's closer to his prime than Taker. I mean, I would say he's probably past his prime a little bit also in age, but arguably he's still in it because he's so talented. Then every offense of AJ, and I've watched it back, is him cheating with Gallows and Anderson, bashing him with like huge objects to take him down. But Taker on his own can manhandle 40 guys in this video. You know what I'm saying?
Druids.
He beats up all these druids, just one punch, they're all done. I think that this invincible Undertaker is not that interesting for the end of his career. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's kind of like the only version of him that he can be.
You know, I would love to see a Taker where it's like he's because I watch. Listen, this comes from a place of me watching Roman Reigns retire him. You know,
right?
We've seen that, so it's not like it's like we're kind of just ignoring that. Like, look what we've done with Cena, where like now they're acknowledging his real story and how hard that clicks from a storytelling standpoint. But then I'm when it's Taker, and it's kind of like we always have to suspend our disbelief. Oh, he didn't actually retire. He's back. He's the dead man. And like then here he's old, but it's like, oh, actually, he's at full strength. And we have to pretend that when he kicks, and even though we see that it's really rough on his knees in this video, he's struggling to walk, you know, we're supposed to be like, oh, actually, he's just still like super strong and operating on all cylinders. And I just find it to be the less interesting way to handle this Taker. Like, have this Taker get his ass beat, but it's like, you can't fucking kill the dead man. This guy's unkillable.
Right.
You know?
He's dead. Yeah.
Right. Which I think that they did in some ways, but we're talking about AJ Styles looked zero strong. You looked like a fucking doofus in the. It could have been any jobber that wrestled Taker in this match.
In the Boneyard.
It could have been anyone. It could have been
Gallows or Anderson.
Yes, it could have been Mojo Rawley versus Undertaker. And we're going exactly the same.
Right.
No phenomenal forearms off of anything, right?
I know. Right. They were on top of things. Like, there was definitely, like, the room and the space to pull off some sort of flying move that makes AJ Styles who he is, but it was just a lot of pure strikes, you know?
Right, it was a lot of pure striking. I mean, I'll say this was the purest his strikes have ever been, and I mean that. I actually mean that. His strikes. The
purest of strikes.
Because in kayfabe, his punches hurt so bad, they must have been so pure. Right?
Totally.
But literally, right. AJ, this match was just, here's Taker, and AJ was like, default bad guy. Like, that was it. And even AJ, don't you want to see what AJ's entrance looks like at this thing? Don't you want to see AJ did a Taker homage entrance? Don't you want to see AJ, like, what is a phenomenal entrance look like? Now, keep in mind, I understand they had limitations here, and can we handle the fact that I'm not criticizing, I'm just dissecting? Can we handle this before I get the messages being like, you can't just appreciate it? No, I am appreciating it. I'm just talking about it. Shawn, Taker, his best matches ever at Mania. Shawn was going for that white. He would come down from the top and he was dressed in all white. Remember? Like, he'd be like, oh, heaven, Shawn versus hell, Taker. What is AJ? He's like, oh, I'm bringing what is he bringing to this table? It seems like nothing. And I think that a lot of it is because this match was set. They lost the whole Michelle McCool angle. They lost a lot of it. So Taker looked amazing in this. Amazing in this, you know? But AJ looked like trash in this match. I mean, yeah. So it doesn't matter. I mean, AJ will recover and everybody. It's not like AJ can take a loss to Taker. Anybody can lose to Taker. It's fine. I loved it. I rewatched it. I loved it. And the Metallica was such a nice touch.
Yeah, that was cool. The end was really super fun.
God. When the purple light goes on.
He hadn't watched the match and he walked in the room for that and he was like blown away. And the Metallica was dope.
Loved it. I love this match. I didn't understand. Like, another thing is like, I didn't understand why are the Druids on AJ's side?
That was mystifying to all, I think. Like, who are
AJ has Druids? So I'm saying the storytelling in this match was the storytelling of Taker. Being like you, some of the stuff he was saying was cool. Of like, you know, and it was cool that he like, hey, let me help you out. I'll bring you over. But really, it was a beat down that AJ, you know, we're talking about AJ Styles,
the phenomenal one.
Don't you want to see AJ with the light behind him entering, like with his arms out, you know?
Yeah.
Or AJ, you know, but anyway, it's kind of amazing. American Badass Taker is like, is good now. Like, it's like, it really works now, you know?
Yeah.
At the time, it just seemed like wildly uncool, but now I think it fits more, so it's more acceptable.
Yeah, and I think also it's like now he's old, so acknowledging that reality is very fun. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I loved it. I want more of it. I would love it. Yeah, love it. Okay, let's talk about Kevin Owens.
I've been dying to talk about this.
Let's go.
It was amazing. It was just awesome. I mean, that was night one, and I think that was the move of the night. It was insane. He dove off the top of the WrestleMania sign, which they lowered and used as a backdrop, I think.
Yeah, they did. So I've heard that this WrestleMania sign has its own truck. It's bigger than it's ever been. I had the dimensions of it at some point.
It's too big for one night.
As a matter of fact, it was too big for one night. Okay. Actually, it was too big for two. It was too big for two nights. That's why on Monday we saw the big show match. Yeah. But yeah, KO with the bump of the night. That is such a bummer of a bump to take with no fucking crowd.
Yeah, no kidding. No crowd.
Yeah. Ugh. But Kevin Owens is great. Kevin Owens is the wrestler who, I said this before, is the guy who I forget why I love him as much as I do. And then he does something. Oh, yeah, that's why. He's so great. Yeah, I hope we could get a version of Kevin Owens that...
it's weird.
Is that AJ?
Yes.
I hope we get a version of Kevin Owens that really gets the baby face. Like I really want him to get that Stone Cold level something. Like there is something to babyface Kevin Owens. Like, cause I'm worried. I literally said, I was like, he only works as a heel, you know, but like, he's such another guy. He's like super likable. They need to figure out a way to have Kevin. They can't just be like arresting him and stuff. They really need him. They need him. And they've done it all. They've had him like eating the popcorn, eating chicken. Like, we need him eating chicken fingers. Right. Like, we need him to be like, really, he's one of you guys, but he's living the dream. You know,
I liked when he was, before he returned from his injury, when he was like doing cell phone videos, like from a bowling alley.
Yeah,
with
his
family.
That.
And like, I thought that was really cool and authentic.
Right. And then, but they just turned him a heel again, right? Like, just for story purposes. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. But anyway, that was a killer match. That was great. Seth Rollins looked awesome in white.
Seth Rollins' gear. Oh my God. I died. It was so good.
Yeah. Seth, he should rock this stuff more. That was like when he's wearing more of the a priest's robe.
Yeah.
It's like more what I'm talking about. You know?
So cool.
I think Seth Rollins
was Frock-like.
He's gonna figure it out. He'll get this thing going. I think it was smart to have Kevin Owens win. He's the heel. He can lose, and he's still gonna figure this thing out. But I really want Seth to really get deep into this character, dig deep. Yeah. I think he probably has to lose the fur jacket. It's great. It doesn't make the Messiah gimmick pop.
No, maybe it's more of like a casual look, but yeah. I think when he's like coming out to his like pulpit or whatever, he should have on some sort of like religious looking regalia.
Yeah. That's great. Edge beats Randy Orton in a match that was the longest. It was a really long match. It was not really keeping my energy. It wasn't really keeping me entertained. Mm-mm. I've heard a lot of people say that it's actually great, so I'm gonna rewatch it. But it was, look, on the chat, we all started talking. We all started losing, you know, just going by pure entertainment value. We all were a little like, this is going on. And it's also this thing where it's like, There's something about like when you're just fighting backstage, our brains are all like, I could do that.
Right. The conference table segment was like 1/3 of the whole 38-minute match.
Like, I like it. I'm all for like the backstage stuff, you know, but all right. We're all so smarky that we know that's a safer way to work. And yeah. There's just something like when you take two guys like that who are so great in, like, those are like two guys you want to see in the ring, you know? But it doesn't, you know, I think the storytelling was cool. When they got on top of that truck, I thought that was pretty fucking badass. I got to give this match a rewatch. I think this match really suffered more than any other match by not having the crowd, because Edge needed to be praised by everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Orton needed to be goaded by, like, you know, we needed to see the voices in his head in action. And so, you know, I'm sure this was a bummer. They counsel him. they counsel him. But Edge coming back, we'll see where Edge goes. I'm sure Edge Orton will keep going probably, because we didn't really get it. But yeah, a bummer. Edge didn't really get that fucking, we didn't even get, you know, we didn't get the Edge, Pyro, you know, we just,
yeah.
Hands up. We, you know, there's a couple moments that, like, I was having a good time, but there was a couple moments where I was bummed, and the good moments made up for most of it. Like, the, you know, like, Goldberg enters, and we don't even get the Goldberg Pyro. It's like, what's the point of Goldberg if we don't get the full hallway, you know?
I think on the chat, on the live stream, you said this is the worst Goldberg entrance ever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's all the any other match you guys are dying to talk about. I think that was all the stuff that was, you know, Street Profits, they retained or whatever, and there was just, you know, some other stuff. Aleister Black beat Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley seems like he's getting rid of Lana, probably for COVID-19. Less talents who need to be with each other. I mean, the ladder match was pretty cool. That match was really cool. I love the ending. Morrison kind of like got beat up but held onto the strap, fell back.
Right. And the two guys were left holding like the metal hanger.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, everything else, a lot of it was just fine. You know, a lot of these, you know, a lot of like like Daniel Bryan's Sami Zayn. That needs a crowd. You know, I mean, it's not like that needs it. So some of these matches, like, I don't even remember what happened. You know, I mean, there's so many matches. But here's my last question for you guys before we go. I mean, we had our WrestleMania. How do you feel about two nights of WrestleMania?
I mean, it would either be like a takeover and then Mania. So it's kind of the same.
Yeah, I think I like that there's NXT TakeOver separate events.
Right.
I think that because I think there still does need to be an NXT TakeOver unless they're going to completely merge them into just one pay-per-view. But I think the show is in one night, like 8 hours, including pre-show or something like that. So to split it up over two nights is a little easier to digest, but I just would worry that it would be two nights of like 7-hour shows, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for two. Like, I felt like when the first night ended, I was like, it was 3 hours long. And I was like, that was, wow, to have another night and be able to stop felt really good. And
to think about seeing it live, because, you know, like around hour five, like, I think you start to hit a wall where you start yawning and want to like sit down and leave. Yeah. So maybe to do it over two nights, especially if you're going to the event, might be.
Yeah. The problem with two nights, I mean, there's a lot of thoughts to it. It's like, they probably can't sell 100,000 tickets for two nights in a row, you know? So then that makes the arena smaller, which makes the spectacle smaller, but why not night one of Mania could be at the Staples Center. And then you kind of know night two is the big one in the arena. I don't know, but you'd have to merge Takeover with it, which I'm sure people would have a problem with, because Takeover is its own special thing. But is Takeover going to start losing its magic now that we have, you know, NXT on USA every month, you know? So the I'm not saying that's 100% going to happen, but there's a lot to it. I think WrestleMania being two nights is bound to happen.
Right.
You know,
it'll be 2 8-hour nights eventually.
That's what I don't want. Like,
Vic, the improv marathon.
4 hours, fine. But 2 8-hour shows, like,
it's happening.
They might start booking cow title matches.
Yeah.
Night one WrestleMania, cow match, cow title, Dan versus Hassan.
2021, folks.
But anyway, guys, that was WrestleMania. Raw was a slog, I thought. But this Wednesday, I'll be live on the Twitch stream for Ciampa Gargano, which I'm sure is going to be a fucking great match. I think they should have showed this on last Wednesday, because coming off of Mania, I'm not sure. Like, you know, there's more excitement leading up to Mania. I think having that match kick off Mania weekend would have been the smart move, especially because we hear that it was pre-taped. I'm not sure. I feel like, you know, you get into the post Mania, like, oh, you know, you have to like come down or whatever a little bit. But anyway, I'm excited to see that. Plus, we'll have Charlotte on NXT. The reports are that WWE's still going, man. I mean, they're in Florida. They're getting an exemption.
For an exemption.
And it's, I mean, wrestling is an essential business, if you ask me. But man, oh man, is it dangerous for these guys to be flying back and forth from where they live and wrestling other guys without actual testing.
So ridiculous. It makes me mad. Like, I will watch it. I'm not going to like boycott or anything, but it really does make me very mad that they can't just take a break and give these people, I don't know, however long off and pay them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky, because we all had such a good time watching this Mania I think all of us, gun to the head, we'd all say we could sacrifice it, but then we would have never got that Firefly Funhouse. So is greatness wrestling to begin with is a risk to your health. Is that kind of risk worth it to get the stuff like that, that kind of magic? The answer is no, because it's not about just their health. They spread it to wherever they go. It's a global pandemic. So the actual answer to that is no. And if you're doing that, you're completely ignoring how pandemics work. Check out this movie Contagion. It will put it all into perspective for you.
Check out a little movie called Contagion.
Contagion is just a movie that came out in 2011 that kind of went under the radar, even though it had a huge cast, but actually predicts pandemics perfectly, including social distancing.
And include like a bat shits in a pig's food, and then Gwyneth Paltrow starts the whole chain, folks. Like, it is real.
Yeah, it's literally down to China and bats. It's kind of crazy. Although I don't know if this is COVID-19 from a bat. Is that confirmed?
It started in a seafood market in Wuhan, and I think that there was a bat involved, right?
Yeah.
Bat juice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, landed somewhere and started.
But, I mean, let's get this out of the way right now. There's nothing inherently weird about eating anything. Dogs, cats, horses, bats,
pussy,
snakes, pussy, whatever you want to eat, ass, whatever you want to eat. There's nothing inherently weird about eating anything. You put sweet baby Ray's on a golden retriever, I'm gonna take a run at that bitch for sure.
I mean, you saw Ozzy Osbourne eat a bat like live in front of 100,000 people.
Well, so I mean, this is a great way to end the WrestleMania. But we're talking about eating something. I actually think you can eat anything. It's more about handling it not being sanitary when you're handling it. When you cook it up, if you cook up any meat, again, Shaun and Contagion. This movie, if it came out 10 years from now, would win Best Picture like instantly. This movie is super well done. The interesting thing about it, and by the way, if you could turn off the podcast now if you don't want to talk about COVID-19 and you just want to talk about this, but it's hard to not. But the interesting thing about the movie is that it shows how, and this will affect comedy as well, is how our base reality will all shift from this event.
Yep.
And these have been real events for other countries. Some of the countries' economies are not crashing at all because they're well equipped. They're already doing tracing, and they know how to socially distance. Every household already owns gloves and masks, getting ready for this stuff.
Right.
They're all completely ready. We were caught off guard for a variety of reasons. Many of them come from leadership reasons and whatnot, which is not, that's not political. That's just facts. True. Let's just follow the facts. Follow the money, follow the facts. It's very, this whole thing is very simple. What happened? Very simple. But so what I'm saying is that a lot of countries are completely prepared for this, for the American base reality going forward, and this will affect your media that you get. This will affect even wrestling writing. This stuff is grounded reality. I would go, you would see Chinese people wearing masks and be like, why are they wearing? I'd be like, why are they wearing masks? I didn't even understand why they're wearing masks in LA. I'm talking about in LA, not even in China, you know? Yeah. So you see this movie, Contagion, China. I know. folks.
Shut your hole!
Okay, all right. But you, so this movie talks about social distancing. Literally, there's a scene where, by the way, don't watch this movie if you're freaked out. Watch this movie if you're someone who gets comfort in information. Like, that's how I am. You know what I mean? But literally, this movie, Kate Winslet is like an epidemiologist. What's her role?
Sure, that's how we'll say it.
Epidemiologist
is what it is. Right? I'm sorry. You know this?
Epidemiologist?
But she literally, like, she scouts like an arena. Right. And she's like, and she has like her assistant, and she's like checking out the arena and be like, this place is perfect. Well, rows of beds here, exactly what you're doing in the Javits Center. Like, exactly. And then she says to him, he's like, great. Now I need you to find me four more. You know what I mean? Right. And it's like that reality is like, whoa, that's cool. But now we live in a reality where this is actually happening. And so you're like, oh, this movie, which felt far fetched, right? Now is like just something we'd accept. That's interesting. I find that how it's interesting how this will affect everything. Mm-hmm. The term social distance was not an actual thing.
Well,
now in this movie, they say it. It's cool.
And it's also,
it was just not, like, for me is what I mean. It was a real thing around the world. Yeah.
Like when you see people, like if you watch a movie and someone like hugs someone else or like shakes hands, I'm always like,
I know. Not, like, it's, like, we were watching Bushwick. See. For the movie dissection episode, it was in my notes, and a guy jogs by the two of them, and he like doesn't even bother like go around. He just keeps his jogging path, and you're like dude, what are you doing?
Droplets. Social distance.
Dude, I'm getting so pissed off. I'll go for walks. I go for walks every day, and like these fucking runners just running and like breathing all over the place.
I know.
Yeah.
I want to murder them.
Yeah. Or do you want to put a gun to their temple and pull the trigger?
Oh yeah. Smack them with a Slim Jim. Oh yeah. Anyway,
smack them with a Slim Jim.
We're living in weird times. Look at us zooming in a studio. Who knows if we'll? And by the way, who knows if we'll ever have a studio again? So this is the time to.
We won't.
So we will, but it will come from the support of you guys at Patreon.com/comedianswrestling, and supporting the Twitch stream when you're on there live and stuff. And but right now. You know, if you want to support us, we are more grassroots than ever. As a matter of fact, I don't think we have much roots. So folks,
just grass.
We might just be grass. Just grass that you've put into the soil, you know, just you've
sprinkled the seed.
But anyway, no, thank you guys for supporting it. Then happy WrestleMania. The season starts again. Man, where will we be? Next year, we'll be in LA for WrestleMania. And man, Hopefully, hoping to get this cow title on the line soon against Hassan. Yeah, exciting stuff. But hey, right now you can go over to patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Check out the Cow Movie Club. Join the Cow Movie Club. And every Monday we're talking about a movie with a pro wrestler in it. Right now we talked Bushwick. We talked Beyond the Mat. We have tons and tons of other movie dissection episodes. But we'll be talking on Monday. That episode will come out for patrons. Gridiron Gang, which is on Netflix right now.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Featuring The Rock Johnson.
The Rock Johnson.
The Rock Johnson.
If you smile.
And yeah, I'll see you guys on Wednesday at twitch.tv/DanBlackAttack. Anything else you guys want to say?
No, that's it.
That's it. Wow. All right, guys. And RIP AJ Styles. Everybody, oh, yeah. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers. Up.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen up
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.